Hey everybody, happy 2026. It's Harry from Alston Pudding. Very happy to be back with another episode of Alston Pudding Presents The Pudcast. It's been a couple weeks since our last episode, and very excited to be back in a new year, new me, but not a new podcast, it's the same podcast. I miss doing these so much. You can tell that I refuse to script these in any way whatsoever. Some news from my world. I have recently finished I'm a master. I have a degree. Well, I technically don't have the degree yet. I won't receive the degree until May. But I am a master of journalism. I completed a master's program at BU, BU's College of Communications recently. Where I specialized in photo and video journalism. It was a year and a half of my life, which is why there were so few episodes of the podcast over the past two-ish years, was because this was sort of taking up a big portion of my life, and I'm done. And it feels good. So, ready to get back into actual, real-world, practical music journalism and not just passing in stuff for grades. Here we go. So I'm happy to be back. I did take a podcasting class while in the program with Professor Shannon Dooling, who is a reporter over at WBUR. Brilliant woman. I'm really grateful for all the people I got to work with, all the professionals and working journalists. I feel like I really did learn a lot, which is what you hope when you go back to school in your mid-30s and pay thousands of dollars to get a degree in the thing you're already kind of doing. You hope that you're going to learn at least one thing. And I learned, I would say, around three things. So thank you, Boston University. Can't wait to make you proud out in the field. Like, on today's episode, I'm super excited for today's episode, getting back to it in style. I'm joined this week by Bus Crush, who today, on like the release day of this episode, they're releasing a new music video for one of the second single off their forthcoming EP, which comes out a week from today on January 16th in 2026, which is the year. I said Happy New Year, but I didn't necessarily specify which new year it was. Anyway, Bus Crush's new EP is dropping a week from today, and so Ben and Olivia join me we walked through the EP and talked about the music video, and it's great. They're great. Love those two. Now that I'm a master of journalism, in my unbiased, purely objective journalistic opinion, this is like one of my favorite bands in Boston right now. I love to listen to them. I love to see them live. I love to take photos of them when they're playing live. They have a, if you're listening to this before January 16th, they'll be playing an EP release show on the release night at Lilypad in Inman Square. So please go. I'll be there if I'm in Boston. I might not be. I might be in New York, but for unrelated reasons. You should be at the Lily Pad for that show. Anyway. Here's Ben and Olivia. I'm joined this week by Olivia and Ben from Bus Crush. How's it going, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, going good.
Yeah, how are your holidays?
Good. I got sick like twice somehow, but I'm here.
Yeah, this guy keeps getting sick. Mine was normal. I had a really boring Christmas. I was by myself, which was awesome. I got a seafood boil. And made me have two because buy one, get one free, but it was not optional.
Wait, they made you had get two?
Yeah, they made me get two. I
Wow.
didn't need both. Well, I need more than one.
Can you like eat leftover seafood
No,
oil?
you shouldn't. Yeah, not
Okay.
ideal.
Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe not advisable like
Yeah.
next day too. It doesn't keep super long, but that's
Throwing
who
away,
doesn't
right?
love a nice we had lobster for my family's Christmas. We also all of us got sick, all three of us, me, my mom, and my
Wow.
brother.
I
So
didn't know that.
similar. I mean, we were just like already gonna be holed up at my brother's house watching Christmas movies and stuff. So it wasn't terrible, but
Yeah, kind of opportune
sick.
time. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like I was sneezing. I've become my dad when I sneeze.
Is
Because
it
I do
scream
that.
sneezing?
I scry out, I
Yes.
shout, and it's three times in a row every time now.
Whoa.
It's like, and then one, two, three, like right after the other. You scream for all three. It doesn't like Yeah.
doesn't go. Oh
No, it
wow.
doesn't taper off. Sometimes it gets
It,
stronger even.
yeah. I do the same thing, just not three times in a row. Usually
Yeah.
just once. Maybe.
Scare the shit out of everyone. So Olivia, you kind of, it sounds like you had somewhat, I keep thinking of one of my favorite Christmas songs is the Waitress's Christmas Wrapping, and it's got that Christmas by
Oh,
myself this year.
yeah, I love that song.
It's
That's one of the
so
best
good.
songs of all time, I would
It's
say.
yeah.
Me and Amelia the other day tried to do it for karaoke. Oh, it's hard.
So
There
difficult.
are a lot of words in
It's
there.
yeah.
You don't really realize how fast they're singing until you try to sing it with them.
Yeah, any wordy song like that, like you think, unless you've like personally rehearsed it on your own time,
Yeah, it's gonna be a surprise.
yeah, especially if you had like a couple beers and you're like, oh, you know what would be great right now,
Yeah, this
as
song
if
I
I
heard
if as if I
because.
cover Busta Rhymes, this is gonna go over so well.
That's
Yeah,
sad.
that's one of the best Christmas songs.
Yeah,
Definitely, yeah.
I was making my list this year. I like the old ones. I like the Frank Sinatra. I like the Judy Garland.
I like the. I mean, that Waitress's song is actually probably my number one.
That makes so
And
much
then
sense for
honestly, like
you.
the
It's
Charlie up
Brown
there.
ones are like,
Charlie Brown, Vince Guaraldi trio is very, very clutch. I think I have that like a vinyl of that. That's how much I like
That's
that
so
music.
good.
Like, and I'll listen to that in like July.
Yeah, the rocks.
And yeah, I like the Sinatra ones. I mean, Last Christmas, I think, is up there. And I really like that old like the from the Phil Spector like Christmas album, the one that's like Christmas, the snow's falling down. Yeah,
Oh.
that one. Is that Darlene Love, I want to say?
Yeah,
That's up there.
maybe. I don't know. I don't know that one. They do.
Maybe, I don't know. Keep going. She's a better
Yeah.
singer than I am, so it's probably
Okay.
gonna and that now I'm thinking, I don't know if I've ever sang on this podcast, and now the world
Well,
has to
now's your time.
yeah, you just did. My mom and the two other people who listen regularly. But yeah, congrats. This is the first episode of 2026.
Oh,
And the first one I've done in a while. So I appreciate you guys coming on to talk about what's new in your world. You've got a music video out. Remind me of the dates. I'm very bad
yep.
with dates, but I think the music video is the 16th. No, the show is the 16th.
Show is the
The
16th. Music video is on this Friday.
16th. Okay.
And yeah, so and then we did the Break a Friend video in December. And I think that's everything that we have Yeah,
planned.
for the
Yeah,
EP.
the Break a Friend video is kind of a last minute thing. We kind of like
It was an accident.
It was an accident. We also like changed up the order of how we were gonna release these songs a couple times, but
That's always how it goes, though.
yeah.
I'm just feeling it out last minute. We meant to make some
real content, some short form stuff. And then our drummer Dimitri is a monster, and he put together a full length video without really telling us or without knowing that he didn't have that. We were like, sure.
I mean,
We'll
that's
do it.
probably a little this like a little relieving that you're just sort of like, oh yeah, if you made it went ahead and made a video, that's
And we have a really good video.
I want to give a shout out to him and his visual stuff. I've been like his photos. I've been as a photographer and videographer myself, I've been loving. I know he's not with us now, but Dimitri, we're thinking highly of you right now. No, the I think I DM'd him at, when I saw the when you sent me the artwork for the Break a Friend single cover, that photo. I love that photo. And I think I sent him a message where I was like, that actually it actually made me mad. How this is how much I like it, where it made me mad, and I was like, ah, I wish I did that.
He has such a good eye for anything. He can make a lot with a little, which is exactly like the music video. Like we had a spotlight in like a basement, and we're like, let's shoot some like 10-second clips. And then we were in there for like 2 hours, and he just put together like a whole music video,
Yeah,
and it just like blew me away.
he always does. I don't know what it is about that guy, and it's effortless too.
It's annoying how
Yeah,
effortless it
seriously.
is. It probably seems more effortless than it is to, but it's like one of the where it's like when you spend as much time as you do like working on your craft, it's, it's like any craft, it's just like it occupies so much of your mind and you want to get like that next shot that's on your mind, and anytime you get to just mess around and so you, so that was that's the Break a Friend video you're okay, so the you shot that in a, like a basement around here.
Yeah, it was our friend Nico's apartment. He lets us he like throws shows in there sometimes, and he lets his friends use his basement for various things.
He's a party thrower, that guy. But it's amazing space, and he's very generous with it. And we're, as with all of our resources, incredibly lucky to have him. And he let us fool around down there for a couple of hours, and we made something.
He had to go to bed in like the middle of it because he was working as a
Lobster fisherman. So he had to get up. So he was snoozing upstairs while
We
we're
were just
making the
like drumming in
video.
his basement.
I mean, the DIY music community is built on the backs of your friends' basements. I think, it's no, yeah. I mean, that's already like shooting in a basement around here because a lot of them are very, very like tight and like low ceilinged and just narrow confined spaces, and to kind of make that your playground that you're operating in is already provide some. Some cool limitations. Limitations are a cool way to allow yourself like creativity because you kind of have to work within these confines.
Yeah, and that's I feel like that's where Dimitri shines also.
Yeah,
Like,
that's very much the bus crush way too. I think we do a good job of doing a lot with a little,
for sure.
and that completely is the product of all the talented people that are generous enough to lend us a hand.
Definitely.
And I think when you have a financial restriction, you get really creative, and that's something that's learned. And everyone that we work with is so well practiced because they love it.
Luckily, because we all, most of us met at Mass Art, so everyone has like some sort of craft, and we just annoy everyone to help us. So,
Yeah, we're very persistent.
it's how you gotta be, though,
Make it happen.
Book shows, book studio time, it's all, everyone's kind of wrestling for the same stages at times, it can feel.
It not necessarily competitive, but there's only so much space, there's only so much time, and for Bus Crush to even exist, you have to kind of make that space for yourself. Ben is really good about that. He's our scheduler for sure.
I'm very type A when it comes to all that stuff.
And I'm really good at showing up.
I mean that's that makes a good team. I sometimes need someone to prod me to show up to places. Let's kind of dive into the EP though. Track one, we have best part. Let's talk about this. So what kind of has stood out to me about this EP the couple times I've listened through is it's I guess let me ask you guys, why go for an EP now? Because you're coming off Sports and Leisure, your debut album, which I know at least from Allston Pudding side of things was very highly praised. And so, kind of why go for a 5-song EP rather than, work on your kind of follow up, like full length album?
For me at least, the full like the debut full length was kind of like a playground of sorts in terms of like finding out like what we sound like, and it definitely like varies in terms of influences and like genres and things like that. And I think I kind of wanted to I think we both kind of wanted to hone it in a little bit and like kind of dial in more of like what we want to sound like and kind of take what we want from the last LP and kind of focus it into something that's more of our voice. And it's just easier to like kind of hunker down on fewer songs and just kind of like really make them shine.
I think we were faced with the challenge of having kind of an incredible amount of material, because we were keeping it rolling. Even when we were making the last record, we were making things that are now on this project. And we were sort of blessed with the problem of having too much stuff to put in one place. And I don't know if it's bias or just enthusiasm, but every time we make something, I'm like, this is great. We should put it somewhere. I don't often think we should throw anything away. So I think the EP kind of was a way to relieve that pressure too, of, this doesn't have to be your sophomore album. This can just be something else you're putting out because it's good and you have it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. And I guess maybe before we start talking about the EP, I want to ask sort of about the genesis of the band and sort of where it came from, because I think it kind of grew out of like a collaboration you guys already kind of had in place. You already had kind of worked together and over the years, and so what was sort of the moment where you were like, all right, we should give ourselves a label as a band, and when did that sort of happen from these collaborations?
I think so. I was playing in Olivia's like in their like personal projects live band for a while, and it was like 20. Was it 2023 we started, or 2022 maybe we started writing?
22 probably.
Yeah. I honestly don't know why we didn't start writing sooner, but I think originally we were like, let's write pop music or something. And like we
Pop
have
girl.
like yeah. But then I was kind of like, I don't really know what I'm personally doing, or like writing pop music. And I think we just kind of fell into what is now Bus Crush.
Yeah, it was definitely your idea.
For sure.
I remember you being like, let's just try to write something. And I had never written music with anyone before. It had always been just me. And even before then, I had only been writing for a couple of years. I've been doing music in general for a couple of years. So, I was very fresh to everything. I definitely had some, not resistance because I trust you, but some hesitation to start bringing someone else into that practice because I didn't know what it was like. And I honestly thought I wouldn't like it. But it just worked kind of right away and it was easy. I thought it was going to be, I thought the process was going to be a lot more different than it is for us, but we have a very like separate but together process, which I think was good for me.
Yeah, our process is definitely different from like any other kind of musical or like band that I'm in terms of like, because there's like a few different stages where like I'll write an idea instrumentally and then Olivia will like sing on it, and then we'll kind of like from there kind of make the song in like one little session. But then we like bring in Dimitri, then we bring in like Paul, our producer, to like kind of make it sound like a real song.
more people gradually.
Yeah.
When we're writing our individual parts, we are in different rooms from one
Yeah.
another usually.
Yeah.
I go away for like 40 minutes and think a little bit and come back. And
Yeah.
that's kind of just how it goes every
Think
time.
of some words.
Yeah, I go away to think of some words.
Nice.
It works.
Uh, and I one thing I you know, I was trying to describe to myself sort of just the way your lyrics hit me. You know, there's something very, I think when I listen to them, there's something I can tell they're coming from like a very like personal and specific, like a lot of the images feel like very personal to your, but like the feelings they evoke are very easy to access for me. Like I feel like I know what you're talking around, even if I don't know the specifics of what you're talking about a lot of the time. Like I think your songs deal a lot with relationships. Sometimes they're not always happy endings, or it doesn't seem like they always ended happily. And not in like a bad way, but just in a very frustrating way. And even though I don't know the details of those things from your personal life, I'm like, oh, these images are hitting me in a way where I can relate to that from like via my own life. And some of them are, you know, some of the ones the lines I attach myself to are very, you know, are on the more poetic side, and then some I think are a little more of the humorous ones. Like I think for Best Part, the first song in the new EP, I think the one that I had written down was, and please correct me if I misheard this because I didn't have a lyric sheet. So what I heard was another attack of the 6 foot woman. Is that, did I hear that correctly? Cool.
There's a lot of lines in that song that I really like. Bit the dog.
Bit the dog that
What's that line again?
I bit the dog, I kissed your face. I think that one in particular, that song is a little bit silly, which I think we leaned into more on this project of like bringing some humor into it, because I think otherwise it gets kind of dark with some of the subject matter or just sad. And Buzzcrush is not a sad project.
No, yeah. We definitely, I don't think we take ourselves overly serious.
Yeah, and I don't think we
Yeah.
should.
At the same time, I still think you guys evoke like feeling, not sad feelings, but you know, I think this is especially true with Sports and Leisure, because I think, you know, the benefit of sort of having like the full length album is that you can kind of mix up the tone of songs a little more, and so you can kind of have that, where this EP I feel like is like five bangers. And you know, they're all like really, really catchy. And you know, I think the slowest one is Drive, that one in the middle. But otherwise, you know, like I'm grooving and dancing, you know, throwing my head back and forth.
Yeah, that's fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, but and, you know, I think going back to what I'm saying about the imagery of the lyrics is that it does have that mix where it's like at times it can remind you of something heartbreaking, but then the next line is something so tongue in cheek that it just, you know, how could I cry with a smile on my face right now? You know, that's sort of the vibe I get.
I feel like that. I mean, thank you for saying that and thank you for listening. But I think when it comes to writing lyrics, no matter how upset you are about an experience, if you're trying to convey it, I think it's sort of by nature funny and embarrassing to write a song about someone or about something. Humiliating. Why do we do it? And then also to know that people are going to be listening to your business. I think you have to embrace, the tongue in cheek, the humor, and like the fact that you're being spiteful. It's very selfish to write about your own experiences, and then, very rewarding that people want to listen at the same time.
I imagine it's also like being part of a like a scene and community too. Like, you know, it's not like,
Knock on wood, hopefully one day millions of people around the world will be listening to Bus Crush songs. But it's also like for now, I imagine a lot of your fans are people you know or friends, and especially if you write a song that might be about a relationship, then you might have people like, oh, was that about them? Like, was that last one about that person? And you kind of just want to be like, yeah, I kind of want to separate the, separate, have, like a work-life balance almost.
There's certainly not a lot of mystique in the bus crush community.
That's an interesting point, though. I don't think I've ever heard it described that way of being like, it is sort of this selfish thing to write songs from like a, dig at your own personal well and bring up these life experiences that might be incorporating, information about other people, I guess. And because I think, a lot of the time we kind of romanticize it like, oh, like I wrote a song about you, like I'm immortalizing this person in song, or where it's actually, it might not be that romantic, I guess.
It feels a little bit like public humiliation sometimes. not on purpose, but it's so exposing. And I don't always write from truth. It is always from experience, but it's a patchwork situation. It's not nothing is a straight line. You take bits and pieces from different experiences and relationships with people that you know, and you create a character. And that's just kind of how something comes about. So I would imagine that from an outside perspective, I'm painting a picture of kind of a monster sometimes. And that person definitely doesn't actually exist. Thank God.
A monstrous 6-foot woman attacking you. Cool. All right. Next track we have High Water, which is also the song that we're going to talk a little bit about the video for. Did Dimitri also shoot the video for this one?
No, Dimitri actually didn't really have much of any role in this one, right?
Yeah,
Besides being
he
in
was
some of
in
it.
it. He did some titles for us.
Yeah, he did the titles at the
But
end.
in the filming, that was Jake Letter, who is in Ben's other project, Bowling Shoes, and he's a longtime friend.
He works in like the film industry, so he has like a lot of film industry friends who like are often down to just like kind of help out on smaller stuff like this.
They're incredibly talented and somehow agreed to work on this project for us.
Jake, I mean, similar to Dimitri, Jake is like equally as talented and kind of having a vision and like seeing it through. And like watching them work was like just I don't know, you're like, okay, this is what this person's supposed to be doing. Like they're so good at it. But yeah, it was our friend Jake with the help of I mean, it was like a whole team of people that they kind of knew through film, and then also a mix of our friends kind of helping out with like production stuff and props and things like that.
Definitely the biggest crew I've ever been on for anything. And we shot the whole thing in 2 days. It was very quick. It was a lot, and it was so fun. And I think whenever we're in it, I forget that it's fun.
It was like also the
Ben
most stressful weekend of my entire life, just
was
like,
about to go on tour for like 2.5 months.
yeah, with another band that I plan, and I stupidly booked this. I mean, it was also just like the only weekend we could do it. It
Yeah, you
was
have to.
like the day before I had to leave for like a for the whole summer pretty much. So it was stressful, not only because of that, but also like budgeting for it. Like, although we had like a lot of friends help, it was still expensive. And like, it's like the Bus Crush as a band is m for the most part, me and Olivia. And whereas like my other bands usually have like four or five people in them, like we're kind of splitting the cost just between us two. So
Thing.
yeah, but it was a fun, I mean, like in retrospect, it was
In
also
retrospect, it was fun.
it was a great weekend.
Yeah. Oh my God. In
I
the
do,
moment.
you know, I do sort of love working on stuff like that where it's such a whirlwind of busyness that you don't even realize that it was like, oh, you know, that was actually kind of a good time
Yeah.
until like the next day you're like, you finally caught up on the rest. But yeah, I mean, filming stuff like that, filming can be like very demanding.
Yeah.
And you know, it's especially you think it'd be a little easier. You know, like I don't know how scripted it was, how storyboarded it was, but yeah, it can be a challenge.
For sure.
Where did the concept for the video come from?
My mind.
Yeah,
We're
we're actually writing, we're
writing the record.
on like little like writing or recording, I guess, retreat for the EP. And then like me and Paul, our producer, and Dimitri were like working on something, and Olivia was just like on her laptop, and then like 20 minutes later just has like a slideshow of like every scene pretty much.
It's the only thing I'm really able to contribute when we're in that stage because I'm not a sound guy. I really don't. I'm useless in that realm and I'm not particularly interested in learning. And so when they start talking mixing and they start talking levels, I kind of honestly tune out until they need me. And that gave me hours to, kind of just work on visuals and think about what this project is going to look like, because I do think Bus Crush has a little bit of magic in the way that it all looks, and that's it, in part due to just like all of the visually skilled people that we work with. But yeah, I came up with the treatment and was going through a phase of being really inspired by Art Nouveau era jewelry and fashion. So found a bunch of really fun references and kind of just went from there. High Water is a song about drinking and making a fool of yourself. And so I started thinking about Prohibition era, did a little bit of history research, did some nerd stuff, and then came up with what was basically the draft. I think it ended up being pretty cool. I'm really proud of it. I think it looks great.
Yeah, it
It
looks
does,
amazing.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was only able to see the rough version, but Ben, you had said that was it was looked pretty similar, the version that's gonna come out.
Yeah, the version you have is probably missing like a couple edits and like it's not colored, but it's more or less like pretty much what it's gonna be.
Yeah, I you know what, now that you mention the Art Nouveau, I also really like Art Nouveau. I can definitely see that as being an influence. I went to like over the summer when I was in Italy, I went to this museum that had it had like a whole gallery of like out what oh, sh sh shit sorry the I just played the music video and it blasted in my headphones. No, so I went to this art museum in Italy, and they had a gallery of Alphonse Mucha, who is like the, I think he was Czech, this Czech artist who kind of was like the guy who started one of the starters of the Art Nouveau movement, and like did a bunch of work on like posters for plays did like early advertising. A lot of that was Art Nouveau. And just like the way that the subjects are kind of framed is just in that style is just really, really beautiful to me. And so I can definitely, you know, knowing that and then kind of looking at some of the stills of the video, I can see that framing. I think the one where you have sort of like a
like a shawl over your head.
Yeah. Is that the
Definitely.
one where you're really
Or a
tall?
pall?
Yeah.
I'm floating.
Yeah,
That
this blue lighting. Yeah.
was.
That was the most horrifying experience of my life. I'm a little bit afraid of heights. And I was standing on, I suppose, like a 3.5 foot stool, which is not that tall. But when you're standing on it for 2 hours, and your clothing is pinned down to the floor, it is a little bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah, because it pulls out and then the dress is like, yeah. Oh, you look super tall on that. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was super tall. Well, I went into this era before we even like, wrote the music. I was like, this time I'm tall and men tall, obviously. And I got my wish and I regretted it immediately, except
It's not all it's cracked up to
it
be
was
up here.
No.
full up there. I don't know how you do it every day. My hands were clammy. I was so
Yep, I'm
nervous.
sweating every day.
Someone, I have like a scratch on my, well, it's probably gone now, but the other week I had like a scratch on my head and someone was like, are you okay? Did you hit your head? And I was like, oh yeah, it's just a tree branch. Like I just, I can't tell you how often this happens being 6'3". Like I scratch my head on tree branches all the time because I don't watch where I'm going. And if they're too low, that airplanes, are
They're not
very,
built for
very,
us.
very cramped in airplanes.
I thought you were saying airplanes were flying too low.
That's how tall I am. I'm like, oh, you know when people live like under the flight path near an airport and they're like, oh, my kids can't sleep because there's always planes day and night. It's me. Like they're just like right by my head. I also love in this shot that we're talking about, and I'm glad this episode will come out the day the video comes out, so there's like a, you know, the visual reference will be there. I love the face of the moon, going, what's that old Voyage to the Moon, that old like French movie. The yeah, that's where like the rocket is in the moon's eye.
She's a beautiful moon. That was also in our like our first pictures and kind of like our inspiration for a lot of the visuals for this whole era. Or just those old like deco era moon portraits. Had to bring him in. That was a fun one.
Georges Méliès, I think, was the guy who directed that. Nice. So what, and so the back to the I'm tall, Ben is small. Was where did that idea come from? Just how the reality is, where he's really tall, and was just like, yeah,
I mean,
show you
you're a
what it's
tall
like.
guy, but I think this time I just wanted it to be different, and that was the first major difference that I decided I was going to take on was I was going to get really big.
It was honestly, I was chilling down there. I was sitting, reading the newspaper.
I feel like Ben would enjoy being short.
Yeah, it was nice, and it was like also just like a very cozy set, like the lights were blue and like there's like candles lit and
Yeah, you were in your little robe.
yeah, I was in like a robe and yeah, I had a little
Little
pipe.
comfy.
You're sa This sounds like you would be very at home in the Shire,
Yeah,
Ben.
I you know
Like
what's funny?
living that hobbit life.
I just watched we just watched the not me and Olivia, but like me and my roommates watched the Lord of the Rings
Hell yeah.
like all of them over the last like 2 days. So it's funny that you bring that up. But yeah, I would love to be a hobbit.
I woke up on New Year's Day at 1:30 in the afternoon on my friend's couch, and they were starting the Fellowship of the Rings. And I, after 15 seconds, because real ones know, you can tell if it's the extended edition 15 seconds into the movie because there's extra lines in Galadriel's opening monologue. And
Huh. Yeah,
so
I did not know that. I'm not a real one.
my first words of this year were, nice, it's the extended edition. And then we ordered coffee and bagels. So
Oh, what a
that was
day.
how I started 2026. It was not too bad.
Not bad at all.
Cozy hobbit life. I'm right with you.
Yeah, that's very much Ben's vibe for this era.
Cool. Let's that Any other words on the music video that you want to get out there? Anything we should know about it?
Shout out Mass Art for letting us kind of letting us film there.
Yeah, we took over their auditorium for sure.
Yeah, shout out Nat and Suja for making a million props for us.
Really fast too.
Yeah. And then Little River, I mean, there's like a million people I could shout out, but honestly, it's just like a testament to just like working with your friends and just having a bunch of creative people around you and making something really cool. Like it just went way above my expectations, and everyone put in a lot of work, like a lot of personal time and money, and yeah, it came out great.
Yeah, we're very grateful.
What was the moon made of? Was that like paper mache? What?
I actually made that one with Nat, and it's yeah, it's like it was like styrofoam with paper mache over it and like plaster and then some paint. She painted it. That was like my one contribution to like actually making stuff.
It's a really big one,
Yeah,
though. Oh, significant one. Yeah, we love her.
Nice. All right, let's go to track three. We have Drive. This is sort of the this was the I think I alluded to it before, but it's the little on the slower side for this EP, just tempo wise. So kind of had the biggest vibe shift in there for me. Which gives it a nice little place right in the middle here, because you kind of have that different mood.
For
What was
sure.
sort of when you were kind of arranging the structure of this, like obviously you had less tracks to work with than like a full length album, but I'm sure that kind of the way the songs flow together was still kind of on your mind. So
Yeah.
how'd you kind of like sequence these for the CP?
I feel like we were kind of all, there wasn't like too much like argument, I guess, or like
No.
discussion about the sequencing. I feel like I maybe had one and then Dimitri like switched the song around or something and was like, how about this? And we're like, yeah.
It just makes sense for the ballad to be sort of in the middle on a project that's short too, just to give you a breather for a second. Because I do think the other four are like bam, 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 kind of in your face.
And Fool, the one after this one, is also
A little
more
more
so
chill.
mid-tempo, so it kind of eases out of this one nicely. And then Break a Friend is the last one, which it's kind of like a fuck you, I guess, to like have like a super just like fast and loud song as like the last one.
Yeah, but I think Drive being in the middle is just your reprieve from all the nonsense.
Yeah, because the first two are definitely like heavy hitters in terms of tempo and energy, so
Yeah.
I want to slow it down. And this one, I would say, also has a lot of energy just in like different ways.
Yeah, this one is the only song we've ever kept the demo vocals from.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I
This one's
forgot about that.
a one, not a one take, but like one of the early demo takes. I think like day we wrote it kind of situation. And we never ended up changing it. I don't know if it was on purpose
I feel like we
necessarily, but
started redoing them and we're like,
why?
we're like, why? Like the original ones are so good.
I think it's a nice breather and a nice Ross focus too with his vocals. His harmonies are really beautiful on that. Ross is one of our guitarists, Ross Kaya, and he has a gorgeous voice. And we've sang together for a few years now, and I think he really shines on that one.
Yeah, your voices go together really well too.
Honestly. You can tell when people don't have chemistry. He's just not going to sound good. It doesn't work. But that guy's my buddy, so. I think we sound pretty good.
I also really like I mean, just throughout the EP, like it's never really flashy, but I think this song it stood out, but the drumming, and that's Dimitri as well, right?
That is Dimitri, yeah.
His drumming throughout, I think, really just like held things in place. And I think this song, even though it's more, it still has that strong kind of backbeat going, and that and I really like the tone. Like, all your instruments, like I think, are just like toned so well.
Thank you.
And
Yeah,
I
that's
like
definitely due to Paul, who like
good
he's he
producer, yeah.
like yeah he like engineers it, produces it. And this one is kind of an outlier in terms of like, because we I think we use like a synth bass on the verse, and also like a little electronic drum kit kind of throughout as well, which is kind of something we do every now and again. But this one was like heavily leaning into that like early 2000s like coming of age movie kind of sound.
Oh, I hear that. I hear that. Like driving away in
I like
your
yeah
Toyota, your parents' Toyota
exactly like
Corolla.
ending credits.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Getting that for sure.
Yeah, we needed that moment, I think. We hadn't had it yet.
I'm getting, and I'm only bringing this up because it's my friend showed me a bunch of episodes of it the other week. So I've now seen Gossip Girl for the first time in my life. And I can just now see this song playing at the end of Gossip Girl.
Exactly. Yeah, you nailed it. I feel like that's like also a similar theme on some of on a good amount of our songs, just
That
like
cinematic or
coming of age movie
oh
kind of
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, we were growing up like in the like late 90s, early 2000s. We're very influenced by like corny cinema, I think, but they have the best soundtracks. Old
They
Disney movies.
do.
Freaky Friday, the fictional band in Freaky Friday that Lindsay Lohan is in, it's so good.
I remember one of my friends when that movie came out, she got really mad because there's a line in there's a White Stripes joke in there, and they make fun of the White Stripes, and there's a line like get a bassist. And my friend, like, after she was like played Seven Nation Army, and she was like, that's a bass, that's a bass. And shout out Freaky Friday. My favorite's always 10 Things I Hate About You,
Yeah.
and the soundtrack for that is really fucking good. I love that one. So yeah, I like some good like 90s, 2000s, like teen. I don't want to use the word slop, because I like it.
I think it was
Slop can
important.
be good.
It feels like slop now, but it was very important that back then when I was developing.
Oh yeah. Well, also the whole mini, it's a small subgenre, but the Shakespeare play repurposed as like teen comedy. Because there's like 10 Things I Hate About You, She's the Man did that. I don't know if there are any others, but I feel like they should do it for every Shakespeare play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely get the cinematic sense. That's not to be like, hey, you know what you guys should do one day. That's you could keep the video idea in your back pocket, do like a 90 like a high school like 90s comedy movie.
Let's just do a full movie and just make the score ourselves.
Yeah, that'll also
That
probably
would
be
actually, I would
interesting.
love that. I feel like we're not getting bands doing feature films anymore.
We should be doing
Like
that. Yeah.
fun feature films, like, you know, the I can't think of the last band that did it. You know, I'm like, obviously there's the Beatles had all those movies, but
You
yeah.
want the fun?
Or even like feature in a full length, like Sugar Ray and Scooby-Doo.
That was your go-to one, because
We
there's
love
probably
Sugar
there's
Ray.
yeah Sugar Ray act like legit a huge influence on me. Definitely My Instagram handle,
that.
people often ask if it's Sugar Ray,
Oh
because it's
man. Oh, that's
Harry
funny.
Gus backwards, and it's I it's Shuggy Ra is how I pronounce it, and they're like, oh, Sugar Ray. I definitely had like two of those CDs back in the day, Mark McGrath, and
He's awesome. Yeah, the video of him who said sugar gay.
yeah.
I Like, I'll never stop thinking about it. Bus Crush will do a Sugar Ray cover set at some point. It's in the
Yeah,
cards for
I think
sure.
we at least are gonna cover. I mean, we have to do a cover of it of one of their songs.
Yeah, it's
They
kind of.
got like a couple songs that like I definitely still know the lyrics to. Like I haven't heard them in years, but I could every morning I could
Oh,
if that
yeah.
came on
I mean, they're
I
still actively in the rotation for me personally, but.
yeah. My mom had the best of CD in her car. I remember being probably like, oh my God, 8, and going with her to drive my little sister to kindergarten, and that was in the rotation. It was the best of Sugar Ray, and then it was Gwen Stefani's first solo album.
Ooh,
And
the one with like Holla Back Girl and
yeah, it's one with Fool on it. That's the best song ever written. It was so good, and I'll never forget like any word to any song on those. They're so good.
It's ingrained in you.
Yeah, it was. That's why this exists.
Any final thoughts on Drive that you want to share?
Don't think so.
Yeah,
I feel
that's
like
the
everything
sweet
else is
one.
pretty. Yeah, it's a sweet one. It's a slower one.
That's the Please Take Care of Me song.
That one also, I think that song was a Paul song too. I think Paul kind of comes in with riffs and stuff. That's how High Water started too, is a Paul riff. So we kind of go back and forth with the songwriting duties.
That one and High Water, I think, are good examples of ones that we were really fast with too. So
High Water, we're like,
yeah.
we were like, we're it's one of the High Water is one of those songs where we're kind of like going crazy during the writing of it because we're just so excited about it.
And it was fast too. It just came together pretty seamlessly, and we had never written anything like it before, but as soon as we heard the chorus, we were like, this is going to be on whatever project we're putting out next, and it's probably going to be a big one for us. We just really like it.
It just feels like a song that we were supposed to write, you know? But in terms of Drive, yeah, I don't think I have anything else for that one.
Love it. It's sweet, and we needed it on there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we got Fool is the next one.
No, this was my personally my most difficult one to work with. We rewrote this song a million times lyrically, which we don't usually do. Usually it's like off the cuff work right away, but we had so many different arrangements of it.
I think that was like also a big difference between writing the LP versus writing the EP. Like with this one, we kind of took the time to kind of mess around with the arrangements a little more. Like when we were writing it, the intro part was originally gonna be the whole verse. Like that it was gonna keep the intro was gonna be the verse just like a bunch of times, and then it was gonna be like a different chorus. But then we had like Dimitri or Paul, I forget which one, listened to it, and they're kind of like, I thought this was just gonna be like a refrain that we like of the chorus, like that we're gonna, go back to in the chorus. So we tried it that way and then kind of landed on that. But yeah, this one was a definitely a difficult one to write in terms of like process and making it feel right. It's also like more like, I guess in the chorus, more subdued than like your other like chorus melodies, I would say. It's more like chill.
The whole thing is very chill. I think that was the difficult part, is I love a chorus that really explodes. And sometimes, like, to bring back High Water, when we wrote that chorus, I was like, this is it, this is the melody, it's so exciting. And then with Fool being so subdued, I was like, is this right? Is this what a chorus should sound like from us? Oh my God, I just dug into it so many times that I was ready to quit at any moment. As soon as someone was going to be like, let's scrap Fool, I would have been cool. But that's what it is Paul has this amazing enthusiasm where he'll latch on to something that we're working on, and he's like, guys, this is it. This is so good. And it's the way he nods his head when he listens to something, where I'm like, okay, maybe there is some magic to this somewhere, and I'm taking it too personally. And then we'll rewrite, and it ends up being
I feel
great.
like it got like a little tainted for both of us in terms of like how long we're like kind of battling with
We
it.
battled with it for a
Also,
long
like
time.
it's nice Paul's favorites on the EP are like different than my favorites, and like the Fool is one of his, which is like, reassuring in that way.
I ended up loving it, and I think it needed to be on there. I think it had a spot for sure. And listening to all of it in order now, of course it's there. Like, what else would be there? And that one, I started out, I was like so lyrically proud of it, and then we tore it to bits,
I
and I was
know we
like,
took
"Do
a
I
lot
hate
of.
it?" And then we put it back together, and I was like, "Okay, I love it again."
I think there's a lot of like lines that you didn't end up using, right? Because
I have pages and pages of lines that we never used for that song.
because the
Oh
chorus
wow.
was supposed to be a verse, so there was supposed to be like more of the chorus, pretty much.
I wrote probably like 16 verses for that song. We can repurpose them.
Repurpose
We'll recycle.
them. But you can always mix it, throw in like a, especially if it ever gets like too popular a sing along live track, you can always throw in like one of those like forgotten verses just to be like, oh, you thought you knew all the words.
Yeah, we can do
No,
both.
that's cool. I mean, it's like a cool glimpse into sort of like the life, the growth of a song, and how it goes through these different iterations. And I don't know, sometimes you get that where you just like have now pages and pages of extra lyrics that didn't quite work at the time. I also, going back to what you said about just explosive choruses, and I definitely, it's definitely something I've noticed about, your songs, and it's so like affecting and like addictive, that it is. I didn't notice on this song that it was sort of the opposite of that. So I'm gonna have to go back and listen.
It's interesting because, like, I guess, like, sonically, it still kind of explodes, but the lyrics are more like mellow.
Okay.
Like the instruments and everything I say would still kind of like they still they get louder, they get bigger, but the vocal melody doesn't kind of do the same thing,
It's
which is
different.
also like. I don't know. I think it's good to kind of play around with other types of choruses that like ones that don't explode, ones that kind of do different things. So yeah, at least this was like a venture in that.
It's nice to have a challenge sometimes too. Fool is also, I don't know if we ever even really addressed this, but Fool is one of the ones we didn't change the name of.
That was the demo, like the Logic file demo.
When Ben sends me song ideas, he just puts a random
Just a random
word
word.
on it, and then we usually end up changing it to something that relates to the theme or the lyrics. Fool, we didn't, and we kind of backwards wrote it, where you or Paul, I think it was Paul, named it that, and I was like, okay, let me write a song about being an idiot.
I kind of like I
Kind of
do like the
okay.
yeah, I like the title. It kind of fits the feeling of it.
There was no reason to change it, but that just.
Yeah, that's probably like the one and only time that's happened where the demo title
Gone.
gone. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, not
Gone was
also
written the
on.
same way from the first record, where I was like, okay, I guess that's what it's about.
So now I'm like,
Yeah.
so now I'm always second guessing what I name my demos because I'm like, should this be like interesting?
Yeah,
But
it has influence
yeah,
for
it
sure.
does. I
imagine wanting to mix up kind of the way you structure songwriting. Because I think you've kind of got a good, you've done enough songs now where like you kind of know what makes a good Bus Crush song, but you don't want to play it safe all the time, and you don't want to just become like a like formulaic, and so it becomes kind of essential to mix it up and grow and develop.
Yeah, it's hard to like break away. At least for me, like I'm very much like a upbeat, faster song kind of songwriter, I guess, and it's hard to like break away from that sometimes, but it's also like extremely necessary that you don't just keep doing you ju don't just keep doing the same you don't just keep doing the same things. And that's also like where like Dimitri is very helpful in terms of that. He's always like kind of making sure that no two songs sound the same.
He probably doesn't want to play the same beat
Yeah, you're
Yeah,
sick of us. Yeah,
30
fair
to
enough.
45 minutes,
Yeah, he just begged for a song in like a 3-4 time thing.
of course now because I'm too online and my mind is poisoned, but I've gotten a bunch of like reels or TikToks of people explaining how like a 6-7 time signature is just like yeah it's possible, but like why would you ever write it that way, and like oh, you want to hear it, fine, I'll fucking do it, and like or like a drummer or a pianist like trying to do some like weird yeah, so they it's only taken one episode in the new year for me to make a 6-7 reference.
Gotta stay relevant, you know?
One day I'll know what the fuck it means, I
Yeah,
swear.
no. I won't. Too
No,
old.
I won't, because it doesn't mean anything. It
Yeah.
doesn't mean shit.
Exactly.
And that's okay. That's okay. Let the kids have fun. All right, and last but not least, a song. I've had a couple, what, like 2 months with this song. It's been out, so like this has already been in rotation for me. It's on some playlists.
Sweet.
Break a Friend. I love this song so much. The back, back everything I've said in this interview thus far kind of is true about just this one song. The big chorus, those what I was saying about the lyrical imagery earlier of just like kind of latching myself on to these different images that come through. This has it all for me. Cool video. This one, I the this kind of screeching guitar intro, like I love that tone so much.
Thank you.
I don't know if I have anything constructive to say about this song, really. I just I
No.
really really dig it.
We appreciate it. This is also one that I think we kind of wrote in the room, more or less. Like, I think Paul has started, because it's a very simple song, like, three, four chords sometimes. And I think he was just playing like the chords, and then I played the riff on top of it. And then we were like, yeah, this is cool. This is also a very un-Bus Crush song, I would say. It's very like blown out, like garage rock, and we don't really have much of that. It's very like very stompy, very marchy song.
It is. It's punchy for sure. Different kind of vocal delivery too. Or
It's very
just,
like chanty.
yeah, it's very chanty. It's all over the register. And one of those ones where for some reason it came together really fast. And so, I don't even think it was one of those ones where I had to leave the room. I was just sitting there while you guys were plugging away at stuff, and I was in my notes app, and then was ready to go. 'Cause it just, I don't know, a chord progression like that actually lends itself to so many different things. It's incredibly versatile, so it was like, why not do something new?
The second verse on this song is probably like my favorite part of like the whole EP, when it kind of breaks down to like bongos, like acoustic guitar. There's definitely like a lot of fun moments, like also like the intro stick click, just being three stick clicks. We were like overly excited about
That's a
that.
really stupid thing to be excited
Stupid,
about, but
stupid things like that.
yeah, just trying something new.
That's awesome though, that you can get excited over something that I think probably to most people that you could tell that like, oh, the three, like we did three stick clicks instead of, and
It's
like
like
people
they're
are probably
expecting
like,
four, but it was three.
yeah, you know what, I didn't I wasn't counting, and but it's like, but it's nice when you get excited over those little things, because it like that means like the because you're the one who's working on it. You're like, no one is going to give a shit about this music if it's not stuff that you're enthusiastic about, I don't think. Like I'll say that to whoever is sitting across from me in my little computer screen. Like if you're not into this, if you don't get excited about these little tiny things in the process, then I doubt that you're gonna come up with something that is really gonna like pull people in and be engaging. And yeah, so get excited over your three clicks.
Favorite part, three
Yeah.
clicks in the beginning of the fifth song.
Yeah.
That's best part of the EP.
Special. I like to imagine, in like 40 years after you've become like the most famous band in the world, and people talking about you, like all the pointless trivia that like old white guys now say about the Beatles and shit. It's like on Break a Friend, they did three stick figures before, like
That's gonna be my
no one
legacy.
was on that shit at that
Yeah. Now,
time, man. Like,
everyone's doing three clicks.
everyone's doing three clicks now.
That's my dream, is that like in 30 years, a bunch of old white guys at the bar are arguing
Yeah.
about
That's how you
the
know you've made it.
shit.
You're
That's
like,
awesome.
no, I like their four clicks albums best. Once they did
That
the three clicks, they really the major labels were calling after that, and
Yeah.
they lost it.
That's very fresh.
But yeah, no, it's interesting that to you guys that it's sort of a to borrow a word from the song, it's like an anomaly of a song for you guys, whereas like for me listening, like that's a quintessential Bus Crush song right there. It's got everything I like about all your other songs. Like it's got like it's in there.
Great. Also, I forgot to mention earlier that this wasn't even going to be on the EP originally, remember? We were going to do, there was another song that was going to be in its place, and we were going to release Break a Friend like 2 weeks after the EP dropped, just as like a surprise thing, because we felt like it didn't fit in enough. But I think we're all kind of like, nah, the song rocks too much to, yeah. So we ended up just putting on the EP.
Yeah, I'm putting it out first, which was not.
Yeah, that's something we also switched around. Originally, we were gonna have High Water come out first, but just like the planning of like release and everything. Also, we thought it would just be cool just like release like just such an aggressive, different kind of vibe from us, just like off the cuff. And also, like I think personally, I'm like more excited about High Water just because I like that song more, and having your second single be like the one you're kind of more excited about is, I don't know, it's exciting.
Yeah, High Water felt like our very polished baby. And we put, the higher budget video into it, and just I don't know, we got excited in a different way about it. And then Break a Friend felt like kind of a gut punch in a good way. So why not start with that and then show them the thing you've been polishing up for all this time, the pearl.
The pearl,
All
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. No, that's exciting. And I'm excited for you guys, 'cause it seems like you're, kind of starting this new, like, the sort of what's next era after you've had like you had some good success off the first album, and you're kind of building that momentum, but also, trying to challenge yourselves in ways. And at the end of the day, the music is still good, and that's like the most important thing. And yeah, I'm excited to see where sort of the where it continues to take you. So new era, Olivia's Tall. What are the other defining features of this?
Ben's a hobbit.
Ben's in his Hobbit era.
Three
Olivia's Tall.
clicks only. Maybe two clicks on the next
Two
thing.
clicks.
Yeah.
I run
To
louder.
yeah.
Louder every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More going for more stuff outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Quiet chorus.
Quiet chorus.
Loud verse, quiet chorus. Almost imperceptibly quiet chorus. Just whispered. You've heard of the whistle register. Now we're in whisper register. Cool. So the video for High Water comes out this Friday.
It does.
A week from that, on January 16th, we have the full release show at Lilypad up in Inman. Anything else that we should keep our eyes and ears out for from Bus Crush?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's really gonna like the EP. It's different, but it is the same. Keeping it in the family for
It's
sure.
an evolution.
It's an evolution.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly proud of it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm excited about it. And we wrote it probably like a year and a half ago, and I'm still very happy with it,
I
which
listen to it every day.
yeah, I listen to it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed
I
to,
think those songs are going to sound really good live.
but.
As of now, I don't know if I'm going to be in Boston for the show, the release show. I know. I
We'll
know.
FaceTime you in or
It's
something.
if I am it, I have to be in New York the next day for a gig. I'm filming something over there. But if it's not like if the call time isn't like 8 in the morning and I can catch a morning bus, then I will be at the show on Friday
Amazing.
night.
Cool.
Also, if I am at the show, I'm gonna hit you guys up about bringing my camera. I think it should be fine because I know Jesse from Lilypad. I don't know. It's like a small venue, so I don't think it's. But I, you know, you're one of my favorite bands to shoot live. So I'm excited. I'm excited for other people to hear this too. It's kind of just been. Obviously, I love that I get to hear music in advance, but then I can't send it to people. Be like, you know, everybody else at Alston, no one else at Alston Pudding has heard this yet. And I'm really excited for them to hear it. Yeah. Any closing remarks, final words before we wrap up?
Just thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening and enjoying our music.
And it's always a pleasure to chat with you too. I feel like we've known each other for probably a couple a year and a half now-ish. And you always show up for us, which is so
Hey.
sweet, and it feels really good to have this nice relationship with you. So very
Yeah.
grateful to be chatting with you
Yeah.
tonight.
For sure. My pleasure. Yeah, I mean, you guys, I would say the same about you guys. I genuinely really fucking love the music. Yeah, thank you for making awesome tunes.
Of course.
And repping Boston. Cool. All right. All right, folks. Thank you for listening. Signing off, I'm Harry with Alston Pudding, and this has been Alston Pudding Presents the podcast presented by Alston Pudding. Take it easy.